Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Well, hey, y'all. Good morning. So I heard about this husband that passed away and he left his wife $20,000. And after the funeral, his wife told a friend, she said, "I'm just so broke." And the friend said, "What do you mean you're broke? He left you $20,000. She said, "Well, I spent $5,000 on the funeral." And she said, "I spent $15,000 on the memorial stone." Her friend said, "Man, that's some stone. How big was it?" She said, 3.5 carats. Mother's Day, and all the ladies in the house deserve a brand new diamond ring, right? Motherhood is many things, but it is not easy. I heard about the mom that invited some people over for dinner one night, and they're all sitting there about to eat, and the mom said to her 6-year-old daughter, she says, "Sally, would you like to lead us in the prayer of blessing before the meal?" And the little girl said, "Well, Mama, I wouldn't know what to say." She said, "Well, just pray like you hear Mama pray." And she said, "Dear Lord, why on earth did I invite all these people over for dinner tonight?" The joys of motherhood. But it's not always funny, is it? Many of you know that I lost my mom Christmas before last. And I just want to just say a word or two as a son. To those of you who still have your mom, I just want to encourage you to treasure every single moment that you have with her. And don't take any of those moments for granted. This next picture was the last time I hugged my mom. And if I could go back to that final hug, I would have never let go. And so treasure every moment. Tell your mom how much you love her. I know for some of us, maybe men in particular, being emotional or saying the words "I love you," and it maybe it's not natural to us, but I want to encourage you to tell your mom how you really feel and to hold nothing back. Too often we'll wait until someone passes away to give them their flowers. Give your mom the flowers she deserves while she's still alive, and hold on to those hugs just a little bit longer. Go see her. Even if you feel like you're too busy, go see her. And when you go see her, don't rush off. Linger for a while. Take your shoes off. Stay. Sleep over. Spend the night. Just like when you were a kid. That's like giving $1 million to your mom. Because the day's going to come when you'd give anything to see her again. Just to hear her voice one more time. I think the Lord gave me the insight in the past year or two of my mom's life. I began to save all of her voicemails. It's maybe my most prized possession. Sometimes I'll go back and play them just so I can hear her sweet voice again. And just for that moment, everything's okay again. Because whether you're 4 years old or you're 42 years old, you never outgrow your need for your mama. So Pleasant Valley, would you join me this morning in just saying thank you to all of our moms on Mother's Day? Can we do that together and bless them? Mothers, we love you. We would not survive without you. The world would not turn around without you. My mom had pulmonary fibrosis. Her last several years, she suffered a lot. Every breath for her was labor. And in those last several months, She knew her time was getting close. And she began to reflect upon her life. And she began to have regrets. The way Mom and I communicated was FaceTime. We did it every morning on my ride to work and on my way home from work. Well, she was hospitalized probably a half dozen times the last few years at Vanderbilt. And she FaceTimed me one day from the hospital in Vandy. And so we just caught up for a few moments. Her breathing was so labored. It took everything she had just to talk. But then all of a sudden, she began to tear up. And the mood kind of shifted in the conversation. And she said, "Honey, I'm sorry." I said, "Mom, sorry for what?" She said, "I've been reflecting back over my life." And she said, "I've been thinking back to when you and the girls were little." And she said, "I should have been a better mother." I said, "Mom, what are you talking about? You were the greatest." She said, "Honey, when you were little, I should have got down on the floor and played with you more." She said, I should have played Lincoln Logs with you. I should have read you more books." She said, "Honey, I was just always so busy running around doing a million things." She said, "If I could go back and do it again, I would have got down on the floor with you more." And I began to tear up and I said, "Mom, stop. You are the most amazing mom I could ever ask for in a million years. Mom, don't do this to yourself. Stop. No. None of this is true." She died about a month after that conversation. And it breaks my heart, but it infuriates me at the same time. That even in her final days on this earth, my sweet, amazing mother was still having to fight off lies from the devil. You see, what my mom experienced wasn't like a guilty conscience. What my mom experienced was spiritual warfare. And many women in this room are experiencing the same thing in your life right now. Maybe you think it's guilt. Maybe you think it's your sensitivity. But you're actually experiencing demonic attack. Did you know that the very word devil means accuser or slanderer? In Revelation chapter 12, we see the job description of Satan. The Bible says that the accuser of our brothers and sisters, that Satan accuses them before our God day and night. So the Bible says one of the devil's primary schemes is he loves to accuse God's people. Satan lives to torment us over the things that we've done. Satan loves to heap shame over us for where we've fallen short. The devil loves to try to bury and smother us in guilt for our sins. And he's relentless. He never sleeps. He never takes vacation days. Revelation 12 says, day and night, he and his millions of demons live to make a case against you. And one of the devil's favorite targets to attack is Christian women. And one of his favorite times to launch an attack is Mother's Day. And one of the devil's go-to strategies is to whisper the lie to the woman of God: "You're not enough. You're a failure. you don't measure up. Women of God, I plead with you to listen this morning. You're going to hear two voices today. You're going to hear two voices in your head. The devil is going to tell you one thing about who you are. But God is going to tell you something else. Don't you listen to the devil. You listen to God. Because here's what the devil's going to say to you, not just today, but for the rest of your life. He's going to say, you're a failure as a Christian. You're a joke. You're a joke of a mother. All your kids are going to need therapy, and it's all your fault. You're a terrible wife. No wonder you're single. No man would ever love you. Your parents think you're nothing but a disappointment. You've only caused them heartache. You're fat. You're ugly. No wonder your man doesn't pursue you like you used to. If people only knew the real you. You're such a phony. You're such a hypocrite. You call yourself a Christian. You're crazy in your head. Nobody would even miss you if you were gone. Even God doesn't love you. Every one of those statements are lies straight from the pit of hell. So ladies, don't you listen to that voice. Don't you listen to lies. You listen to God's voice. And God says, ladies, you are chosen. You are blameless. You are loved. You are accepted. You are beautiful. You are precious. You are enough. And it's not because of what you do. It's because of who you are. And before you're a struggling, exhausted woman, you're a daughter of the King. You've been washed and made new by the blood of Jesus. In Christ, you are righteous. In Christ, you are blameless. You are royalty in the family of God. You're a daughter of the King. That's who you are in Christ. How? But James, I don't feel like any of those things are true about me. I do fail. I do fall short as a mom, as a woman, as a wife. How can you say I'm blameless before God? How can you say God's totally happy with me? How could you say that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It's a single verse in the Bible that perhaps most succinctly summarizes the gospel. The Bible says he, that's God the Father in this context, made the one, that's Christ the Son. So he made the one who did not know sin. That means Christ was sinless. He was perfect. So God made Christ the Son who did not know sin to be sin for us. So that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So at the cross where Jesus died, there was a great exchange that happened. All of our sin, if you like big words, was imputed to Jesus, or all of our sin was transferred to Jesus' account. So every sin we've ever committed, past, present, and future, was dumped on the head of Jesus. He became sin for us, verse 21 says. Jesus was so consumed with our sin, so inundated with our sin, when God looked at Christ, he says, that's sin. Jesus became sin. And there on the cross, as Jesus bore our sin, the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, yet the Lord, that's the Father, was pleased to crush him, to crush Christ severely. You see, Jesus Christ wasn't just executed by Roman soldiers. Jesus Christ was crushed by God the Father. This is why Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is what we call penal substitutionary atonement. You don't have to remember that. Here's all it means. Jesus died in our place as our substitute. And in doing so, Jesus absorbed, he took upon the judgment and the wrath of God that we deserved. Jesus died the death we should have died for our sin. So if you're a Christian this morning, your sins have not just been swept under the rug. If you're in Jesus, your sins have been paid for in full by Christ, and you bear their guilt no more. Jesus didn't just dance around our sins. He atoned for our sins. He dealt with them. But that's not all that happened at the cross. In verse 21, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in Christ, we, those who believe in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So not only did God transfer our sins to Jesus on the cross, but when we believe in Jesus, God transfers Jesus' perfect righteousness to us. It's the great exchange. We lose our sin record, we gain righteousness. It's what we call an imputed righteousness or an alien righteousness. It's not our own righteousness. It's God's righteousness given to us through Jesus. So Jesus took upon our identity as sinners so that we might take upon his identity as righteous in Christ. Here's the beauty of what this means. In Christ, God now views us, Christian, as though we never sinned. God views us perfectly righteous, as though we are the ones that live the perfectly obedient life that Jesus did. So if you're in Christ this morning, you're not just an old, dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace to God. In Christ, you are righteous. You are precious. You are blameless. Your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. God remembers your sins no more. God's not ticked off at you. You're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. You're beautiful to him. He delights in you. He's so pleased with you. That's not me talking, by the way. That's God talking. That's who God says you are. So remember, ladies, there are going to be two voices you're going to hear for the rest of your life. You know that little meme we see where like the devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other? You know, that's actually pretty darn accurate. Because the Bible says Satan is all day and night relentlessly accusing. He's always running his stupid mouth, tormenting you, shaming you, guilting you, condemning you. But then over here you have the gospel voice, the voice of God speaking truth over you. Ladies, listen to the right voice. The devil will say, "You're a terrible Christian. You're a pathetic mother. Your kids are messed up and it's all your fault. You didn't get down on the floor and play enough with your kids. You worked too much. You didn't work enough." Your husband deserves so much better than you. No wonder you're single. Look at yourself. You're just a disappointment to your parents. You're ugly. You don't have any friends. Nobody would even miss you if you were gone. God doesn't even love you. If you've ever heard any of those statements in your head, they are straight from hell. But sisters in Christ, don't you let the devil talk to you that way. Instead, ladies, you remind Satan, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. You spit this right back up in his face. At the cross, Jesus disarmed Satan and the demons. The original text says he disarmed the rulers and the authorities, but that means Satan and demons. Jesus, when he hung on the cross, disarmed the devil. That term disarmed in verse 15 in the Greek, it means when Jesus died, he stripped Satan of his power to accuse us of our sin. Jesus done gone and took the ammunition out of the devil's gun, which means you don't have to take bullets from the devil anymore. So preach that to the devil. Remind him, Satan, Jesus disarmed you. Satan, ladies, can still fire accusations at you, but he is shooting blanks. So ladies, when the devil launches accusations at you, whispering in your ear, you're not enough, you're a failure, you gotta remind the devil he has no authority to speak that over your life. Christ and Christ alone gets the final word over you. And Jesus says you are forgiven. Jesus says you are righteous. Jesus says that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen to that voice. My mama used to tell me, son, no back talking. I got spanked with that fly swatter many times for back talking. But there is a time and a place for back talking. And ladies, some of y'all this morning got to learn to start back talking to the devil. Ladies, some of you roll over and you let the devil heap shame over you and you just take it. You don't have to take it. You have a gospel word in you. You have the truth of Christ in you, and you gotta learn to start talking back, and you gotta do it with some sass. The devil, ladies, will accuse you and remind you of your sin. You gotta talk back, and you gotta say, shut up, Satan. Amen. Kids, normally we don't want you to say shut up, but when you're talking to the devil, you say whatever you want. So listen, lady, when the enemy accuses you, you got to say, shut up, Satan. God says he remembers my sins no more. If the devil torments you, ladies, from failures in your first marriage, you got to talk back to him. Don't just lay there and take that. Don't lay there in the bed at night and let him circulate that through your head. No. You got to go on the offense. You got to say, Satan, zip your mouth, punk. God says, my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. God ain't worried about that divorce. It's been washed away. The devil whispers in your ear, ladies, that you could never be forgiven because of your sexual past. That you're dirty. That you'll never be clean before the Lord. Or the devil will torment you that you could never be forgiven because of that abortion you had. Ladies, you talk back to him. You raise your voice at him. And sing some of the old hymns back to him. You say, devil, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. What you gonna say to that, Satan? You see, you're singing to God, but you're talking back to him. When the devil tells you, stay-at-home moms, that you should feel shame for not bringing home money, you remind him that your identity is not in where you work. Your identity is you are a daughter of the King. That's who you are. To those moms who work outside the home, and the devil accuses you, and he tries to guilt you that you're not home enough, you talk back to him. You raise your voice to him. And you remind him that your heavenly Father doesn't love you based on what you do from 8 to 5. Your heavenly Father loves you because of who you are, and you're a daughter of the King. That's what God says, and his opinion of you is only one that really matters. To the mom whose child has gone astray and they're not walking with the Lord. And the devil will whisper in your ear, it's all your fault. You didn't pray with them enough. You didn't read the Bible to them enough. You talk back to the devil. And you quote Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And ladies, if you want to come back and swing another one at him, you keep praying for that wayward child every single day. Because whether that child is in the Pizza Hut or the penitentiary, they're never too far gone for the Lord. You keep on praying. Don't you ever give up on that wayward child. To the single woman. And the devil whispers in your ear that no man would ever love you. You raise your voice back at him and you tell that stupid devil that the God man loves you perfectly and he will never leave you or never forsake you. To the mom who has suffered the miscarriage. And the devil tells you that a loving God would have never let that happen to you. Or that it's some kind of punishment. You remind the enemy that your precious baby is in heaven, being kept safe by Jesus until you get there. And one day you will hold your child and you'll never have to say goodbye to them again. Oh, mamas, the best Mother's Day you'll ever have will be that first one in heaven. And mamas, every day will be Mother's Day in heaven. No more sleepless nights. No more worrying about your babies. It's all going to be worth it when we get there. To the mom whose babies have grown up and moved off now, and the house feels so empty, and the devil tells you you're always going to be sad. You're always going to be depressed. You'll never have joy again that your babies aren't there. You remind the devil that the Holy Spirit is your comforter and that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you, and God's presence is enough. To the single mom who's trying to do it all by yourself and you're exhausted and the devil tells you you're a failure. You talk back to him and you say, Satan, shut up. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And with God's help and by God's grace, I'm a darn good mama. And God will provide and my kids will be blessed. You see, ladies, you got to learn to fire back. You don't have to take that from him. Your rifle is the gospel. Your ammunition is the blood of Jesus. And so, ladies, this morning, you go ahead and blow that stupid devil right on back to hell, and you do it on Mother's Day. All right. I'd love to invite our music team, if they would, to come on up at this time. Let's bow our heads, ladies. I'd like to invite our ministry team as well to come on down. Ladies, this morning, whether you're a mother or not, at this time, we want to have a special prayer of blessing over you. And my wife, Annie, is going to lead us in that prayer. And then after that prayer, our worship team is going to sing a song of blessing over you. So ladies, if you would, whether you are 5 years old or 95 years old, whether you're married or single, kids, no kids, I would love for every woman in the room, would you just stand at this time? And what we want to do is pray a blessing over you and we want to sing, the whole congregation and the worship team, we want to sing a blessing over you. And then during that song of blessing, we have ministry team members down here to my left and right along the walls under the screens. Ladies, if you're going through something, you would like to receive prayer this morning, they would love to pray over you. You can come at any point through the rest of the service. But this time, I'd like to ask my wife, Annie, to lead in a prayer over all the women in the house.
Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence here with us today. And every day, we thank you that you have made your dwelling place in our hearts. Lord, I thank you for each and every woman represented here today and for those who are watching online. Lord, I thank you that we have been made in your image and for your glory. And Lord, I just want to lift them up to you. Father, I ask that any lie that they have been believing about who they are, about their circumstances, Father, I just ask that in the name of Jesus, that you would help them to believe the truth of who you say they are. Father, that you would help them to overflow, Father, with your presence, Father. Lord, I know sometimes that in my life personally, and I know probably many ladies in here can relate, it feels like a wilderness, Lord. And I'm wondering if you're there and if you're gonna show up, Father, and I don't see the fruit in my life. And it makes me think of the prophet, I think it's Ezekiel, I can't remember, you know, Lord, where he's looking out and he sees this valley of dry bones and everything seems dead and everything seems hopeless and there is no life and there is no hope. And Father, you tell him to prophesy over these bones, to breathe and to live, Lord, and you give life. And so, Father, right now, I just want to speak life over the ladies in this room. Lord, I ask that they would see hope and that they would walk in encouragement that you are faithful to finish what you have started in them, Lord, and that you will never leave or forsake them. Father, I ask that where there is a wilderness, that your spirit, Father, that you would bring a stream of life bursting with fruit. Lord, I just ask that you would help them to claim the promises as they go throughout their day and their week. And it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things. Amen.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.